Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody's having an absolutely magnificent day today. Lots of things going on as always. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Raining, sunny, or windy outside. This is a great day. And God put us here, and we're still basically running around on this planet doing what He wants us to do, hopefully, and trying to bring honor and glory to Him, hopefully, and trying to figure this whole thing out as far as what's happening with this new world order. I think we've got a pretty good handle on it, and we're just trying to help enough other people to try to figure out what's going on. But I'm doing absolutely great. In fact, yesterday I was talking to you guys, and I was talking about the Sabbatean Kabbalists, Luciferians, and how they run the planet. And we've got to realize that these guys, it's an undeniable fact that these people are really a group of inbred family, a bloodline. They own most of the world's corporations. They've been plotting to murder 90% of humanity. Basically, they want to slave everybody. They forced us to spend $6.4 trillion on a war on terror in the Middle East just to promote their agenda. And we need to understand that. I mean, this is a lot of money. That's enough money to end all kinds of poverty, stop a lot of environmental problems. I mean, all of this stuff is being used to push Armageddon. And we need to understand something as a reminder. You know, we're ruled by a group of people that are basically trying to bundle and put all corporations into a major group. In other words, they're trying to control everything. I mean, right now we have a group of corporations that we have 737 people, according to a Swiss study that was done. 737 people, Austin, who control 80% of the world's international corporations. Now think about that for a second.
Yep.
737 people control 80% of the world. And it didn't make any sense why we'd allow these guys to do this. And when they bundled all these financial assets together, the top 10% of the people control about 93% of the world's complete financial assets, with the bottom 90% are burdened with 72% of the debt. And we need to understand that this system that we have right now, because of the international banking community, because of what they've done, is a complete and total abomination. I mean, they take bundles of junk stuff and they put them all together, just like they did back in the 80s, and now we're about to have another major Lehman Brothers collapse, probably even worse than that, because they take this garbage together and they think when they pile a bunch of garbage together, it becomes a good asset. I mean, this is absolutely nuts that we're in the middle of this stuff again. And the problem is, Austin, the vast majority of the people don't understand that Donald Trump is a figurehead. And he is a very sick figurehead. You say, well, what do you mean he's sick? He was back in the hospital this week. I mean, again. And now one of the top doctors who used to work with the White House says that Trump has neurological problems. I mean, that's a pretty big thing. That's a pretty big doggone comment to make. His former White House physician on Trump's health says that there's a neurological issue that is not being addressed. Now, let me tell you what this neurological issue is about Donald Trump. He's drinking a gallon of diet sodas a day. Diet sodas contain methanol. It's paint thinner. It cannot be made non-poisonous. It causes brain tumors, brain cancer, seizures, optic nerve degradation. The aspartic acid component of the diet sodas eats holes in the brain. This guy lives on a gallon of soda a day, diet soda a day. And nobody around him has enough stones to tell him how bad this stuff is for him, and they won't do it. They won't say, Donald, you probably need to stop drinking diet sodas. They don't do that. They're all too scared of him. Maybe you need to drink some, you know, purified water. How about that? How about you stop drinking that? You know, he's got horrible sleep patterns. He lives on McDonald's foods and diet sodas. I mean, it's unbelievable what's going on with him. And quite frankly, guys, this type of just total and continual abuse of your health just absolutely destroys yourself because of the cortisol. I mean, a new study just came out from the Mayo Clinic, and it says a lack of sleep, it can make you sick. And now, and it's so true. Lack of sleep can affect your immune systems. Studies show that people who don't get a good quality of sleep or enough sleep are more likely to get sick after exposed to a virus, such as the common cold virus. Lack of sleep can also affect how fast you recover if you do get sick. Trump stays up all night geeked up on diet sodas and just basically tweets all night. Just tweets like a 12-year-old child passing notes in class, except he's got millions of people listening to his little rant and rave tweets all the time. I mean, somebody really needs to sit down and have a chit-chat with him and say, hey, maybe just need to calm down on the tweets. And, you know, I don't have a bit of problem with the President of the United States communicating directly with the population using tweets. I don't have a problem with that. I think it's a fabulous marketing idea as far as getting his word across, not going through the corrupt media. But geez, there's a point in time when you've got to say, you know, enough's enough. It was 80 something tweets in one day. And the problem with that is he's very, very frustrated because he's trying, I believe, Austin, in one sick, twisted way, I guess, you know, not to be completely controlled and dominated by the Rothschild banking cartel, which basically bought him back in the 80s. And he's trying to exert a little bit of influence that he possibly can with a little bit of autonomy he has left. But guys, I'm going to say this very, very clearly. A few years ago, the guy who wrote Rich Man, Poor Rich Dad, Poor Dad, they were asking him about Obama on a major interview he was doing. This was 15 years ago, 15 years ago. And he basically said, Obama, he says, what does Obama have to do with the economy? He's just a figurehead. He didn't make any decisions. And see, we need to understand him right after that, by the way. I think his name's Kosoki, I believe. He was pulled off all the interviews. I never saw him on another live interview because he told the truth. You know, the figurehead of the United States, our president, basically is controlled through groups, committees, subcommittees, and people who tell him what to do. And they basically, even Bill Clinton said this. He said, I learned very quickly as president that, you know, you don't make the big decisions. Somebody else makes it for you. And you just basically, you know, tell the country what the decisions are. And this is what we need to understand. The circus show with Donald Trump on this whole thing with the impeachment is ludicrous. Now, him slamming people that are actually testifying during his impeachment, during their testimony and interfering with their doggone testimony, that's probably impeachable, doing stupid stuff like that. I mean, that's interfering with the direct testimony of a witness. But, you know, should you bring the full weight of the presidency of the United States of America and attack a person individually? Yeah, he does that all the time. And guys, that's not okay. What are we, 12 here? You know, show a little bit of discretion and discernment and just think through what you're doing. Just don't start attacking people individually. If you don't like something they're doing, you can talk about it in general terms or whatever. And if you have to do something directly towards somebody, okay. But don't make that a normal course of action. That's why so many people who he's done that to, they absolutely loathe him because he's calling them out like, you know, like a bully on a doggone playground. I'm the president of the United States. You don't do this, I'm going to do this to you. Man, it's what are we, 12? I mean, I know I said that a few seconds ago, but it's so weird to me. It's like I'm back in grade school or something and having to deal with this stuff. But remember what I told you guys. You know, Trump was a big pot smoker. Big pot smoker. And that neurological development stops whenever you start smoking pot. So what age was he when he started smoking pot? What pot? Was it 10? Was it 11? Was it 12? Was it 13? Was it 14? Was it 15? Was it 18? Was it 20? I don't know. I guess we could ask him. Is that what we're dealing with, a 12-year-old in the White House? And guys, don't get me wrong. I like a lot of the stuff that he's done. I really do. And I really believe that we had a chance with him, and hopefully we still have a chance with him to make America great again. But guys, where's the border wall? This is part of a little 60-mile fence they've replaced the fencing up. Hillary's still running around, spewing her venom. I mean, it's just the things that we really focused on as a country of what we wanted him to do just didn't get done. By the way, I posted this on the website. Robert Kennedy just came out with part 6 of vaxxed and unvaccinated children. To completely change the subject here because I don't want to go off on a tangent again today. This is interesting. And let me give some statistics here. Vaccination in children increases the risks of asthma 11.4 times and hay fever 10 times in children with no family record of history of these conditions. Vaccinations with DPT simultaneously with measles vaccine or DPT after measles vaccine increases the risks of death by 2.59 times. Hepatitis B vaccine increases the odds 3.1 of multiple sclerosis diagnosis. I'm going to repeat that one. MS. Hepatitis B vaccine. This is the one they give you right when you get born. Increases the odds 300% increase in multiple sclerosis diagnosis. 70% of SIDS death occur within 3 weeks of DPT vaccination. I'm going to repeat that one. 70% of sudden infant death syndrome in infants occurs within 3 weeks of DPT vaccination. Dr. Robert Mendelsohn promoted, told everybody this, all about this back in the 70s and the 80s. He promptly died in his early 60s, great shape. All of a sudden, he just drops dead in his sleep one night, getting on all kinds of national TV shows talking about all this stuff. Guys, the whole thing that's happening with these vaccinations is really just unbelievable that we can actually have a country that has allowed this to happen. A country in which people will sit there and believe everything their pediatrician tells them because it's their pediatrician. I mean, think about that for a second. You know, why in the world you have to have wellness checks with your pediatrician. I have four children. We never had a pediatrician. There you go. There's true confessions from Ted Brower. We went to a general practitioner that was a health-oriented medical doctor who also practiced as a naturopath. Yeah, that's what he did. He's gone now. He's dead. May he rest in peace. But that's who was our doctor. I mean, he was the one. He did require vaccines. He said, you know, you don't have to bring your children in to have healthy visits and healthy wellness checks. He said, if there's a problem, they got a cold, bring them in. Let me take a look at them, see how they're doing. But if they're proceeding and growing well and gaining weight, you don't need to bring them in here. We got a lot of sick kids in here. We don't want to have you bringing in a healthy child in a sick clinic because they may catch something. Yeah, that's the doctor we had that worked as our pediatrician. Dr. Robinson was his name. May he rest in peace. A good man. And there were it was a father and son team. They're both gone now. And the thing about it so sad is that, you know, those types of physicians are harder and harder and harder to find because the pressure from the insurance companies and the pressure from the state regulatory agencies, the licensing agencies, are so against doctors like that that want to give you the authority to have a healthy child and base its health on you and make it your responsibility. I'm going to share something with you guys real quick. You know, if you've got a child who's obese, so now a lot of doctors are telling us that children should have bariatric surgery because they're obese, which means part of their intestines should be resected or their stomach stapled. Ask yourself a question. You got a four-year-old who's obese. Yeah, that four-year-old jumped in the car yesterday, didn't he? Cranked that thing up, slammed it in the gear, took off to the junk food store, and ran inside a Walmart, loaded up a bunch of stuff on the cart. He gave him the Visa MasterCard from his mommy and daddy, pushed the cart out the thing, you know, climbed back up on his little chair in the car that he had to put in the car so he could see over the steering wheel, and he drove home to eat his junk food. Yeah, okay. Did that happen? No. We're bringing this garbage home and giving it to our kids. I've got a friend of mine. He's dead now. But he rested in peace. He committed suicide. He was a pastor. And he had a young daughter. And his young daughter was wanting to eat all the time, all the time, all the time. His wife, who was not health conscious, fed this young daughter all the time, all the time, all the time, until she became horribly obese. I mean, by the time she's 15, 16 years old, she's 150 pounds overweight. And it started as an infant. And I told both of them, you know, she's getting really big. And I said, you got to cut back on this because all those fat cells that develop the first couple of years of life, they're always screaming for glucose. And she's having a problem with the rest of her life trying to maintain her weight. She needs to get cut back on her dietary intake. Well, she starts crying when she's hungry. And I'm like, let her cry. She'll quit crying. We've raised four kids. They didn't do it. And I see this over and over. Another girl we knew, they had a vending business, the family did. And I'm not going to mention any names here today because a lot of folks listen to my show. And this girl got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And finally, she ended up getting horribly obese. And then she had to go in and have bariatric surgery done. And then she ended up having an intestinal problem. She had her, and now she's in her 30s and she's had her colon removed. Now her health is unbelievably bad. Why is that? Is it because the child didn't show any restraint when she was 6, 7, 8 years old? Well, she was in a theta brainwave state. Is it their parents weren't careful enough to do what they needed to do? You know, there are all kinds of factors here. The reality, though, is that girl's got some serious health problems now later on in life, and it all started during her childhood. And we need to make sure, as parents, that we do what we need to do to keep our children healthy. That means, you know, we buy healthy food. We eat healthy food. See, here's the problem with these young children that are obese. And I know I'm meddling today, so don't start fussing at me, okay? I know I'm meddling. Is that the parents are bringing this food home because they want to eat it. They're bringing the sodas home. They're bringing the white bread home. They're bringing the cakes and the pastries and everything's home. And they're, because they want to eat it. Because they're getting a glucose trigger from it. Because they're getting a dopamine trigger from it. And the kids get addicted to this sugar junk. And they start eating it. I'll never forget, Austin. I think you were with me one time. We were driving through town here in Auburndale going to the local grocery store. And there's a woman sitting in the front seat of her car. She's about 400 pounds. She was in the passenger seat. And she had a cake on her chest on a plate, and she was shoving the cake into her mouth as they were driving through the parking lot. And I thought, wow, that's a shot. That's a sight. That's a photograph. And see, that's the problem. And then they get around a healthy person and they don't eat that way. I've got a friend of mine. He's very overweight. And every time he comes to the house, he wants to eat an apple, or he wants to eat a tangerine, or he wants to eat have a protein shake. And finally, I looked at him the other day. I said, dude, when are we going to have a discussion about your diet? I said, you're 70 pounds overweight. And he can't ignore me. I said, are we just going to ignore it? And he goes, yep, we're going to ignore it. I'm like, okay, that's what we'll do. We'll ignore it. But guys, think about it. I mean, every morning I get up, and every morning I get on the scales, and I look. And let me tell you something. If you haven't turned 40 years of age yet, you're in for a rude awakening when you turn 40. And when you turn 50, you're in for a bigger rude awakening. And by the time you get to 60, you're going to figure out how little you have to eat. And you won't be going to the restaurant splitting meals anymore because you're trying to save money. You'll be going to the restaurant splitting meals because you don't want the calories. That's just the way it's going to work. And I'm going to let you know that in advance. You got to continue to work out, you got to continue to train, and you got to continue to eat clean as long as you possibly can all the days of your life. Also, what do you think about these stories this morning? What's your first story about?
Well, well said. And as most people know, at least our listeners do, and we try to get this information out there, sugar is addictive, if not more addictive than cocaine. And a lab research test that they did years ago, they found that the mice would actually prefer sugar over cocaine in some instances. That's how addictive it can get. So when you see people like that and they can't even wait to get home with their cake that they bought at the store for no particular reason except they want to feed those sugar cravings, and they're shoving them, their faces in there, that's essentially the same context of being a crack addict or a coke addict. They can't even wait 10 minutes to get home. They have to shove the cake and shovel it down their throat as fast they possibly can to feed that addiction. Not good. Not good at all. So you have to start asking yourself these questions. A lot of times, and we've seen this exactly what Dad said, these behavior traits, these addictions, start at a younger age. Now, some people can become morbidly obese when they get older because their diet deteriorates for some specific reason as they get older. But rarely, have I seen it, rarely, if a child is raised in a very clean environment, eats very clean his entire life growing up, do they completely and totally fall away from that once they move out of the house for the rest of their life and their entire diet just deteriorates to garbage forever in perpetuity until they die? Rarely have I seen that. Majority of these habits start at childhood via parent purchases of this junk food. So understand that very clearly. You may think, oh, it's just a little bit here, it's a little bit there, and a couple times a week, then every day, then multiple times a day. You're setting up your child for a lifelong issue with food addiction if you allow them to eat these junk foods, especially on a regular basis. Because remember, when you start eating food like this and you get a dopamine trigger, your body wants more. Now, if you do it for a special occasion, you have ice cream for a party you're having that weekend, and then a couple weeks later you end up having, you know, some other treat, it's going to be very difficult to build that type of addiction off that type of diet lifestyle, which is usually the way my family operates. Is even with my children in Atlanta, you know, I don't deprive the kids. They want some, you know, junk food sometimes. I'll make sure, you know, we get some organic almond milk or cashew milk ice creams. By the way, they make some really delicious ones now. That way you're not getting all the dairy and all the homogenized pasteurized milk in it. And of course there's some sugar in it, but again, it's not something to eat on a regular basis, and we use it as a treat, especially if we have like a big dinner we're eating and Hunter's eating food or he's being picky about something, and we say, hey, you know, if you finish your dinner tonight, it's Friday night, we'll give you basically a, you know, a little bowl of organic ice cream. If you use stuff like that, it's very effective, and you're using it as more of a tool instead of a crutch. It's a reward system, not a crutch system where they have to eat their ice cream and their candy and their cookies and all their junk food every single day to feed their addiction. And the irony about all of this is we see that the soda industry, the sugar industry, the biotech GMO industry are all complicit in feeding a lot of these foods out on the market, including the fact that EBT cards, the number one food item purchased on food stamps, which that is EBT, electronic benefit transfer, is soda. The number one purchased product is soda. Now, if you thought for a second that society and the government and all these industries actually wanted to curb obesity and, you know, as far as the issues we're starting to see in pancreatic problems and liver issues and cavities and so forth, they would not allow those foods to be purchased by EBTs. And I get so tickled pink when people get in bold red face arguments with me and they say, you can't tell people what they can't buy with their EBT. You can't do that. They can buy whatever they want to buy. You can't let the government force you to buy these foods. And my response is, no, you can't force people to not buy those foods, but you surely don't have to enable them either. you don't have to enable them and allow them to buy junk food with their EBT cards. And you get the continual argument, well, the government can't come in and step that. Well, of course, those people can work for a living if they want as well. They can actually go out and buy the food they want with their own hard-earned money and not force the American taxpayer to fund sodas as the number one purchased EBT purchase in the United States. That's a context. It's like these shows I've seen before on TV, and you can't watch for just more than a couple minutes. They're so disgusting. You know, my big fat, what, 600-700 pound wife. And these people are in these houses, and they can't fit through the doors to take care of their kids, and their parents are having to take care of these 30-year-old kids that are 700 pounds that lay in bed all day and watch TV and play video games. My question is, stop feeding them. Put them on a 2,000-calorie-a-day diet, and you'll see how fast they drop weight. Stop feeding them the 15, 20, 30,000 calories a day you have to intake to maintain 700 pounds. These are things that nobody wants to talk about, but yet they want to talk about restricting the ability for law-abiding citizens to own firearms, or the law-abiding citizens to be able to have freedom of speech, or law-abiding citizens to have the ability to speak freely on certain topics and not be considered hate speech now, or hate crimes, which they're trying to push so clearly. I mean, like Dad talked about the other day, Remington now, basically the Supreme Court, refused to hear the case as far as with Remington Arms being sued now by victims of Sandy Hook to basically be held accountable for what their firearm was done, misused by somebody. And it's ironic to me the Supreme Court completely and totally refused to even hear that case when we already know that we have law in place, the Lawful Commerce and Arms Act of 2005, which shields companies from liability in the event that a product's misused. And now the Supreme Court refused to hear it. Basically said, green light, go. If you want to do it, we're not going to deal with it. The Connecticut Supreme Court wants to allow lawsuits against Remington, green light. And now they're going forward with them now. I mean, it's ironic about this. And here's the irony about this. The Supreme Court refuses to actually uphold the Lawful Commerce and Arms Act of 2005, the protection of that, and now Remington is more likely, if this goes forward to full-blown jury trial, it's probably going to bankrupt Remington, believe it or not. I mean, they're a huge company, but if this goes to some massive multi-hundred-million-dollar settlement, which it very well may because of how liberal that area is, if it goes to a jury trial, and they continue to push this, they're going to effectively remove that company from being able to do business with hundreds of millions of law-abiding citizens because the Supreme Court refuses to uphold the law that's in effect since 2005. Now, it's ironic about this. How many people, how many presidential candidates have you heard support this? Almost all of them, almost all the Democratic presidential candidates, including Biden, have come out now and said he promises to repeal the protection of Lawful Commerce and Arms Act of 2005. There's numerous ones. I'm not even going to name all of the clowns on the left that are talking about how this needs to be repealed and how arms dealers, you know, like Remington and Colt, need to be able to be sued with hundreds of millions of dollars in lawsuits if their firearm that was legally purchased is used in a crime. But how many of these same individuals have you heard talk about repealing the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act, or even that, repeal the Vaccine Protection Act from 1986. How many of you heard say that? Not a single person has brought that up. Even Donald Trump has not brought that up. The 1986 Vaccine Protection Act completely shields all vaccine manufacturers from any type of recourse due to their unbelievably toxic vaccines, meaning they can produce whatever they want, they can sell whatever they want. It doesn't matter how many damages, how many deaths, how many issues are associated for lifelong ailments. It doesn't matter. The American population has to essentially fund the Vaccine Compensation Act via taxpayer dollars to pay the people back that were injured from the vaccines that the vaccine manufacturers are completely and totally prevented from being sued and held accountable for. Now, what's ironic about this is if you pull up the HRSA, which is basically the adverse conditions that have occurred from the issues of vaccines, and then it goes into the individuals that have actually gone into this compensation fund, this vaccine compensation fund, just in 2018 alone, there were 1,238 petitions that were paid out from either death, dismemberment, it goes on to here, injury, you know, all this stuff now. now, just in 2018 alone. And those were just the ones that actually went out of their way because they had so many health issues that they petitioned 1,238 people, basically, from all these health issues. 1,238 in 2018 alone. And if you look at the numbers on that, in 2018, there were $199 million paid out, almost $200 million paid out in 2018 alone to those individuals that basically were found after all the court proceedings, after all the rigmarole, and most of those, by the way, are going through months and months, if not years, of court issues to try to get paid out. $200 million over 1,283 petitions from 2018 alone. Now, let's look at some real numbers from the FBI. The FBI stated in 2018 there were 27 school shootings in the United States. And these are actually shootings that occurred real, not the fake shootings, not the ones that the police set up. These are the ones that they deemed to be credible. Okay, 27 shootings. Out of those 27 shootings, there were 213 casualties. Of those casualties, 85 children were killed. That's horrific. And 128 were wounded. That's also equally as horrific. So in 2018, we had 213 children that were either shot or injured due to firearm-related homicides and school shootings in 2018. Yet, we have almost 1,300 petitions filed, which they say that that's generally around 5 to 10% of the individuals that were actually injured. So you can pretty much factor that that number goes up probably over 10 to 15,000 that were severely injured by vaccines. Yet, the media and presidential candidates are completely and totally silent on the fact that vaccines, even petition-wise, were five times greater injury or death to school shootings in 2018. Yet, they're going to go now and have the green light to sue Remington to try to throw them in the hole and completely bankrupt them so they can no longer make sales to the general population. This is what you see in a tyrannical society. When you start having mob rule, when you start having the giant corporations that Dad just talked about, 93% of everything owned by the top tier, that they can control, they can manage, and they can manipulate the truth, the facts, and the money as much as they want, and nobody says anything otherwise. If I was running for president, these would be one of the top things that I would be bringing up. I would bring up the lies by the, basically the left on gun statistics and gun deaths. I would bring up the Vaccine Protection Act from 1986. I would also bring up the Firearm Act, basically from 1986 as well. And I'd bring up a plethora of this stuff. But again, that's why nobody wins the presidential race whenever they talk about these things, because the mainstream media will not cover them or give them any exposure whatsoever. You saw what happened to Rand Paul when he ran for 2008. The man talked about auditing the Federal Reserve. He talked about nationalizing the Federal Reserve. Rand Paul. But again, when you saw him on presidential debates, they would cut him off after 10 and 15 seconds. Would not even let him speak. Completely and totally shut him down. Because why? He wasn't talking about what they wanted him to. He was changing the narrative. The narrative is not changing right now. And now we see Trump, which, I mean, I feel bad for him if he's having these health issues. I wish somebody would walk in there and say, Donald, these are toxic. They're diet sodas. You need to stop drinking them. But I can almost guarantee you they're encouraging him to drink more of them. They're probably bringing them one after another because the individuals that are running this know what happened with NutraSweet. They know what aspartame was built on. They know how toxic it is, and that is why they are pushing it to this man. And it's interesting because I watched a press release he did a couple days ago. And you could tell his speech, he kept repeating himself. Every time they asked him a question, all he did was just repeat the same thing he said before. He didn't answer the question. It was almost like they handed him a script with five or six bullet points. He memorized them with a basic short term. He went up there, used those bullet points to answer each question repetitively and not talk about anything, and then basically stopped the conversation after 5 minutes and left, made no valid points, answered no questions. And I'm not trying to pick on him because I don't like him, because I've always liked Donald Trump. I like what he did when he was younger with a lot of the business stuff he did. I was very excited on what he ran on with his national movement and making America great again. I was excited about seeing Hillary Clinton go to prison and being indicted. I was excited about that. But again, we see now the narrative cannot be changed if there is not some massive force. That's why JFK, when he went ahead and basically started to print sound money, bam, months later he was dead. They did not want him changing the narrative, and he did with that executive order. That's why you can look back on those dollar bills, those $5 bills. It would say, payable to the bear on demand and $5 in silver. It would say it on the bill. You could go into the bank with that bill and hand them that $5 bill, and they would hand you $5 equivalency in silver coinage. That's what JFK tried to do, and they made sure they took him out immediately. Donald Trump promoted nationalism. He promoted making America great again. And I told you, if for only that reason and that reason alone, his verbal, basically, disagreement against globalism and his staunch stance on nationalism has made him a threat, because those very topics right there alone changed the narrative of the United States in 2016, and the American population woke up with the conservative patriot movement following Donald Trump and decided they wanted to make America great again. And that alone is trying to be done to remove him from office. And whether or not he gets impeached, I don't think he will. But again, this impeachment proceeding went to crap and went nowhere, as his dad and I told you it would. So now they've tried the second option. See if they can poison him enough with enough toxins and enough sucralose, enough aspartame to get him mentally unstable to basically try to get him out of office. And that probably is the option, plan B or maybe C, D, or E. I don't know. But it seems that it may be working. I'm assuming he will be back, because when he's in the hospital, they're probably not going to give him sodas while he's on IV and they're doing testing, because when they draw blood, they want you on an empty stomach when they're doing blood work. So he's probably going to detox off of this stuff for a day or two, which will probably be really, really good for his mental clarity. And he's probably going to come out better than he has in the last couple months. But again, as soon as he gets back in office, they're probably going to make sure they have an ice-cold Diet Coke waiting for him, knowing what it's going to do to his mental capacity, Dan.
You know, Austin, the aspartic acid component of the diet soda, that's aspartame is what it's called, aspartame, named after aspartic acid. The aspartic acid component is a dopamine trigger. There's actually a receptor site in the brain cells which release dopamine when you drink this stuff. And that's why it's so addictive. You and I both know a local pastor who drinks a gallon of soda a day. It's unbelievable. And he's like Fruit Loops. He's got some serious health issues. And he's got some serious brain issues. I mean, you can't even have a reasonable conversation with him. He's like erratic. And it's unbelievable how messed up in the head he is. And, you know, and I've talked to him until I was blue in the face, and finally I said, enough, I'm not going to mess with it. I mean, he rides around on his motorcycle with a doggone quart of diet soda in a doggone container hooked onto his handlebar. I mean, he can't get away from it. He's got to have diet soda everywhere he goes. It's that addictive to some people, and they'll fight you for it. I remember one time, Austin, I was in the Midwest somewhere. It was Ohio or Indianapolis, I don't know where it was. It's back in the 90s. I was doing a big seminar. We were at a big, huge coliseum. And the promoter had asked me to go to one of my tape tables because the people wanted to ask me a bunch of questions. And I didn't normally do that, because what happens when you have 18, 20, 30,000 people in a stadium and you speak and you've got people who have a whole bunch of health issues, they swarm on you. In other words, they don't try to talk to you one person at a time. 50 people come up to you and they start asking you questions all at once. It's very stressful, by the way, when that happens. And it's weird is what it is. You almost need to have security with you. And what happened is, I'm at the tape table because I was asked to go back to it. I was up on a big platform somewhere up on one of the 10th or 15th floor, wherever it was. And I'll never forget, some lady comes running up to me, along with all these other people asking me all these legitimate questions. And she has a diet soda in her hand. And she takes this diet soda and she shoves it in my face, literally 2 inches from my nose. I almost knocked it out of her hand. So I thought she was going to hit me with it. And she goes, I don't care what you say. I'm going to drink it. I'm going to drink it until I don't want to drink it. I looked at her. I said, I don't care what you do. She goes, what do you mean? I said, I don't care. I said, drink it. I said, you heard my presentation. It contains paint thinner. I said, if you want to drink paint thinner. It's not my problem. It's your problem. She goes, what do you mean by that? I said, I was very clear with you on the platform when I spoke about it. I said, if you want to drink paint thinner, have at it. It's your choice. Oh, you don't care if I drink it? And I said, no, I don't care. Why do I care if you don't care? Why am I going to internalize your conflict with diet soda? And guys, it was so funny. This was over 20 years ago that I was doing all this stuff and on the radio and TV and all the stuff that I was talking about and stuff. And then the seminars were, let's see, they were 93 through 99 when I did all the seminars. When I was on this platform sometimes 17 times a year. You know, up to 15, 20, 30, 40,000 people in attendance with President Bush and Barbara Bush and Colin Powell and all the rest of them. And it's like I told you guys yesterday, I've got photographs to prove to you and the dates and times and tear sheets of so many of these things that I did. So, and plus Austin was on the platform with me, so I don't make stuff up.
Yeah.
But guys, it's a choice that we all have to make, Austin. Everybody's got to make a decision on what they want to do with their health, if they want to drink the stuff or not drink the stuff. I mean, there's nothing wrong with eating a donut every once in a while, but if you're living on two dozen donuts a day, you're probably going to end up with, you know, type 2 diabetes and obesity. It's just, you got to understand that things have to be done in moderation. Some things need to be completely avoided, like pork and shellfish because of toxicity symptoms, and pork being the number one cause of cancer globally, and basically shellfish, you can die from paralytic shellfish poisoning. There are certain things out there you just need to avoid and not eat at all. I can't tell you how many times I go to a restaurant and I'm, you know, and there's like a really good restaurant, like everything is seafood and shellfish, and a lot of the seafood is okay, like grouper, red snapper, orange, ruffy. They're all fine fish to eat, wild salmon. But boy, I tell you what, it's amazing, America's love affair with shellfish. And it's just something, if you've ever been sick from shellfish and have had shellfish poisoning, which I have had, your love affair with that thing goes away pretty doggone quick. Now, so let me change the topics real quick. Brand new investigations coming out about the Travon hoax. And that's exactly what that whole thing was. When Travon basically was beating up Zimmerman here, that basically ignited a racial division in America. It's all based on a spectacular fraud. And they're doing a movie about it now. Filmmaker Joel Gilbert uncovers the true story of the shooting of Travon Martin that divided America on racial lines. Gilbert showed how the case was fabricated around Travon's final phone call with his girlfriend, Diamond Eugene, that falsely portrayed the shooting as a racial attack. Evidence points to Travon as the aggressor. The real Diamond Eugene, who was 16 at the time, never testified at the Zimmerman's trial, but Rachel Gentile was substituted in her place as a fake witness under oath. Yes, this is what happened, friends. Gilbert says the false narrative used to inflame black voters into reelecting Obama in 2012. He said it also ignited racial discord that is harming the black community even today, with a 33% increase in homicides. We were here in Florida years ago when this mess happened with Travon Martin. I posted this on the Health Masters website, so you can read this entire article and watch these videos, a 3-minute movie trailer. But guys, it wasn't what you thought it was. Zimmerman was Hispanic. He was basically doing a neighborhood watch program. Travon Martin had stuff in his bag to break in to houses in the neighborhood. Travon Martin was a MMA fighter. He's like 6'1", 180, 190 pounds, and he's 17 years old. Hardcore fighter. And basically Zimmerman confronted him. Travon Martin jumped him, started pounding his head into the concrete. Zimmerman reached in his pocket right before he was about to get killed, unloaded one 9mm round right through Travon's chest, right through his heart, and killed him dead. Then they showed Travon Martin's picture from like Olin Mills when he's like 8-10 years old, and we got to see this little child that was killed by Zimmerman, and it wasn't a little child. It was a hardcore MMA fighter. I tell you what, I know a lot of 17-year-olds, and I've known them, that are hardcore scrappers. And I mean, you go to the U.S. Open in Orlando, where they have international full contact karate competition. And you see the different age groups, and you'll see 13, 14, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids that you don't want to get in a fight with. And this guy was trained as an MMA fighter. And now we find out that his real girlfriend had this conversation with him, wasn't used as a witness, and they lied under oath and put somebody else on the stand. This is all crazy stuff. But guys, this is the way it was when the gay Kenyan was in the White House. He was doing everything he possibly could through George Soros and the bunch to create as much racial divide as he possibly could to create a new world order in the United States. That was his goal. Now, he did it, by the way, Obama for that did an excellent job. Oh, by the way, there was also a Soros connection with Obama, which we all know, and Soros is a cutout for the Rothschilds. And now we have another Soros connection to Trump's impeachment. George Soros is most likely has his hands all over Trump's impeachment. We knew this was coming. It seems that Eric Caramella was in the Soros inner circle while working for the Obama administration. That's why I brought all this up. Eric Caramella, who real clear investigation suggests is a likely so-called whistleblower, which we know he is now, receives emails about Ukraine policy from top director of George Soros' Open Society Foundation. The emails inform Caramella and a handful of other Obama foreign policy officials about Soros' whereabouts, the contents of Soros' prior meeting about Ukraine, and a future meeting billionaire activist was holding with the Prime Minister of Ukraine. Wow. A primary recipient of the Open Society emails, along with Caramella, was then Assistant Secretary of State for European Affairs, Victoria Nuland, who played a central role in the anti-Trump dossier affair. Nuland, with whom Caramella worked closely, received updates on Ukrainian issues from dossier author Christopher Steele. Here we go, guys. In addition to her direct role in facilitating dossier within the Obama administration. All right. There you go. There's your smoking gun, guys. Here's the thing. It goes right back to nobody else will mention this. Nobody else ever talks about this. What Otto Kahn said, that we control both sides of the narrative, said this 100 years ago. The international banking community holds the earth by its axis, and it controls both sides of the narrative. The same group who wanted Trump put into office because of rebuilding the Third Temple is the same group that comes in and hammers him with this impeachment so they can control the narrative of the divide of the American population to destroy nationalism, to cause a rift in the population, to try to create a potential civil war. Guys, I'm telling you, that's what these guys want. And that's why I'm so frustrated with so many, and I didn't mention this yesterday, but I should have, when I talked about alternative show hosts that are putting out too much weird information, they're falling right into this trap. Let me go on the record right now. I don't want a civil war in the United States. I don't want to have to bear arms against my fellow American citizens. Nor do I believe they want to bear arms against other American citizens. But guys, this is what they want you to do. So they can bring the United Nations and Soviet and Chinese and all who knows what kind of mercenaries into the United States to quell the civil war, just like we've quelled the civil war in Syria. How'd that work out? We've quelled the civil war in the Middle East. How have those things worked out? How many of you want to live in Afghanistan right now, or in Libya, or in Egypt, or any place right now? They're all a bunch of New World Order HE double sticks holes. That's all they are. This is what they want. They want to bring everything they possibly can to this New World Order. So there's your Soros connection. There's your Otto Kahn connection. And there you go. That's what these clowns are doing, and that's what they will continue to do, because they want to destroy the United States of America. So to a point now where Denver business owners are being fined for not cleaning up feces and used drug needles that are left behind by homeless vagrants. Yeah. The city of Denver fined Jaweed Boyser, a local internet business owner, after he and his staff refused to continue up cleaning up homeless people cleaning up after homeless people behind his building. He said the homeless people leave with trash, rugs, needles, food, and human waste in the alley where his business is located. He complained that the vagrants engage in drug deals, prostitution, and violence. The city of Denver is following liberal policies and refuses to enforce laws against trespassing, crank camping, and public defecation. You can't eat a sandwich on the subway, but you can sure poop everywhere. Denver contends that if the trash is on Beiser's property, he is responsible to clean it. The city has threatened to issue additional fines, and Beiser plans to fight the ticket in court on December the 18th. Wow. This is nuts what's going on, because this is the hellhole they want the entire planet to turn into, because out of order, out of chaos, will come a new world order. And that new world order will be Stalags and gulags and concentration camps and FEMA camps, in which they take you into a re-education camp. And that what Hillary Clinton said, that these people need to go to a re-education camp? That's just one of her quotes. And we need to realize, guys, that this is what they want you to go. And if you're not willing to comply and follow the groups and what they're supposed to do, this happened in Rome. Let me step back 2,000 years. You know, when Julius Caesar was basically killed in the Senate, and Augustus Caesar took over from him, you know, he had to fight all of these wars against all of his adversaries. And Rome had been in a civil war for like 100 years. It was a mess. And people wanted to have peace. So what did Augustus Caesar do? He made a hit list of about 1,000 people, families, rich, well-known, many of them senators, families in Rome, that he could basically go and kill, take their stuff, get them off his back, and fund his doggone continued growth of the country and basically get rid of all the adversaries. Yeah. Out of chaos comes a new world order. And Augustus Caesar did that. He killed over 1,000 people. I mean, he had lists that he and Mark Antony put together that were like pages and pages and pages long of people they killed and just took their stuff. And then when that was all said and done, Mark Antony fled down to Egypt, basically cut off the grain supply to Rome. Augustus Caesar went into Rome, and basically Mark Antony killed himself, Cleopatra killed herself, and they seized the gold and the resources of Rome, took all their stuff, you know, took over all the grain fields down there on the Nile River Delta Valley, and then took over and brought all the millions and billions of dollars in gold back into Rome and started on a giant building campaign and building the city of Rome as we see in the history books to the glory that it was once, that it was, you know, 2,000 years ago. They did it with other people's money by ransacking and wiping out people. So I guess the Rothschild boys and the Sabbatean Kabbalists kind of look at it that way. If they take everybody's stuff and kill everybody who complains, they can do whatever they want to do and build whatever they want to build, wherever they want to build it, and have their new world order. Bring their doggone Antichrist on the planet. This is the goal of these clowns. Keep your eyes on the ball and realize what they want to do. Also, what do you think?
It's really well said, and I mean, that's why I told you guys last week that this entire proceedings with this impeachment BS and so forth is simply being used to try to slowly whittle away at the Constitutional Republic, because they have to break that down. And so if they can push this narrative and, again, do so many things behind the scenes, I mean, for instance, I told you guys yesterday, Prince Andrew did that, that interview over the weekend and made himself look, I mean, guiltier than a dog that just got done chewing up his entire bed and there's all over the floor. That's how he looked. I mean, he looked moronic. Well, now this morning, the British author Lady Colin Campbell, who's basically a big fan and a big friend of the royal family, came on the morning Good Morning Britain, which has Piers Morgan on it, and I kid you not, this is what she said. Now, this is how sick these people are up in power, where they justify this, and they're trying to justify everything to us. She goes, "Sorry, you may have all seemed to have forgotten that Jeffrey Epstein, the only offense for which he was charged for and he was in prison, was soliciting prostitution from minors. That's not pedophilia." And Piers Morgan came back and said, "What do you call that then? If you solicit a 12, allegedly, and also blatantly 14-year-old girls for prostitution, you're a pedophile." And she shot back and said, "It doesn't matter." Kid you not. And this is what these people are pushing. I mean, remember, there are also two news, remember, Epstein's victim, Virginia Roberts Gulfrey, came out and said that Epstein blatantly bragged about procuring 3 12-year-old French girls as a birthday gift. But again, that wasn't pedophilia. That was just prostitution of a minor. It was consensual. There's nothing wrong with that. This is what they're trying to push. And these little snippets like this come out, and they try to normalize it. And that's why I brought this up, because this isn't normal, okay? Having sex with underage kids, in general, is not normal behavior whatsoever. It's not okay. It's not healthy. It's not Christian. It's not anything whatsoever. You can't justify it in any means. But this is why we've seen this behavior slowly be normalized here in the United States. We had a 9-year-old boy in last December in New York City dancing, a boy that drag queens like a girl, dancing at a male strip club while males threw dollar bills at him in New York City. And it was okay. That was art, expression of art. There was nothing weird about that. That wasn't pedophilia, so they claimed. This is what the transgender movement is starting to snowball into, and I've warned about it for years. Once they can get the general population to shut their mouth and bite their tongue and not say anything about perverts running around and cross-dressing and demanding you call them by their pronoun, that they tell you you have to call them, and that their children, our children, are exposed to this weird, perverted sexual behavior at young ages of 5 now in kindergarten out in California, and it becomes so normal, so accepted, so praised, it eventually becomes embraced, then they will start slowly what they've already been doing, rolling out the pedophilia aspect of it. Oh, it's okay. You know, this guy, he's a 40-year-old man, but he doesn't identify as a 40-year-old man. He identifies as a 10-year-old girl. So if he engages in sexual behavior with a 10-year-old boy, that's okay. It's like a 10-year-old girl engaging in that behavior. It's completely normal. You can't get mad at him for that. This is what they've already started doing. This occurred, I think, in a court case a year ago, if I'm not mistaken, where a man did exactly what I just said. There is an example. And I think the court ended up being saying he was mentally unstable and he got like 5 years in prison. So he didn't get away with it. But once they can justify it long enough, and once blithering sicko perverts like this lady on Good Morning Britain came out yesterday and said that Prince Andrew and Epstein did not engage in anything with pedophilia, they only did prostitution with minors the age of 12 and 14. There's nothing bad about that. Once they can normalize this enough, they'll slowly start to bring out the perverted behavior with the children, and that is where we'll completely and totally lose the society. And I think at that point in time, God's hand of protection will cease to be on this country, guys, because it's very, very clear in the Bible. God talks about the protection of children and individuals that do weird, sick, perverted things to these children and what's going to happen to them. And once a society as a whole starts to accept and later on embrace this behavior, you will pretty much reach the level that we saw in Genesis, where every thought of every man is evil all the time. The same context that we saw with Lot in Sodom and Gomorrah, where every man, young and old, surrounded Lot's house and demanded he bring the male angels out so they could basically sodomize them. That's to the level of depravity it reaches, and that's what we're trying to prevent here in the country. At least the Christian realm in this country is trying to prevent this from happening, while the hardcore left are trying to normalize it and legalize it at the same time. And people go, well, I'll never be okay with pedophilia. I won't be okay with that. Then why are you okay with transgender behavior? Because it's leading to the exact same thing. When we start telling individuals that they can come up and wake up any day they want and pretend to be whatever they want and pretend to be a guy or a girl or a fairy or a unicorn or a pixie and they can just change it day by day, you're right on the precipice of saying they can change their age any day and identify at a different age. That is why I've told you the biggest thing we can do is be vocal about this right now. And I know this isn't a fun topic. Nobody likes talking about this. I don't like talking about this. But we have to be vocal about this. The political correctness has run amok in this country. And if we continue to shut our mouths and bite our tongues as Christians and not say anything, and also continue to support the companies that blatantly endorse this behavior, like Starbucks, like Target, like Disney World, and we give them our money, we are funding the demise of our own culture. This is something, in my opinion, is not acceptable to me. And so people ask me all the time, Samuel, well, you guys talk about a lot of different stuff. What can we do to stop this? I'm telling you right now what we can do to stop this, prevent it, or at least hopefully slow it down and not let it progress to the rate that it's pushing right now. Stop supporting it. Stop biting your tongue when people want you to self-censor based on what you know to be wrong. And stop giving your money to companies that blatantly support this, including abortions. Like Planned Parenthood. Starbucks is a huge supporter of Planned Parenthood. Target is a huge supporter of Planned Parenthood. And start supporting companies that you know do not support them, like Hobby Lobby, like Chick-fil-A, even though I really have requested numerous times they clean up some of the quality of their food. But supporting companies like even Health Masters that do not support this behavior, do not donate a single penny to this behavior, and you already know that Health Masters will not fund or donate anything to these companies if we find out for a second that they have been engaged in this behavior like Dad did. I mean, we help out with Global Servants, getting Thai girls basically into orphanages and homes and get them out of sex slavery. That's the kind of stuff that we support, guys. The proactive behavior that helps support a greater cause and not the sick, perverted concepts that they're trying to push on us right now. That's my stance on it, Dad, and that's what we can do to at least make a difference, in my opinion, with these topics.
And guys, I want to thank you. So many of you are sending monthly contributions in for us, because, you know, we're spending, I think, right at $1,500 a month to keep these girls out of these sex slave dens. And they actually go into the villages and they pick up the girls, and the parents give them the girls, and they put them in a school, and they teach them godly principles, and they teach them Christianity, they teach them who Jesus is, and they make sure they're not sex trafficked. And many of these girls have become doctors and lawyers and attorneys and all kinds of other people that are going to work, continue to help these young girls. And they didn't have a chance until, you know, Global Servants with Mark Rutland went in there and took care of this. And people like you guys who support what we do with this, do it. And you say, well, we don't contribute to you guys directly through that, but we buy your vitamins. That's fine. I'm not asking you to support us through that. Thank you if you do. But thank you for buying the supplements. Because just like Austin said, if you don't support the people who are doing these horrible things, which we don't, but you do support the people that are trying to tell you guys the truth. It's like the sower and the seed in the New Testament. And a lot of this has been twisted in Christianity with some of this prosperity stuff that people push to the extreme. But the sower and the seed and the farmer and the seed, that's a very real story. If the farmer doesn't sow seed, he's not going to have a harvest. He's not going to have it. So when you guys sow seed, or you buy your vitamins from us, or you support us through contributions or whatever you do to support the radio show, it allows us to do what we do. And I hope we're a blessing back to you. Because, guys, if we're not doing this together as a team, what the heck, man? Why are we here? We've got to work together. I mean, so if you just get your multivitamins and toothpaste from us, it makes this show possible. And we thank you for that. And just another show you what this what NBC is doing. Emmy-winning NBC medical correspondent Bruce Hensel has been accused of asking a 9-year-old girl for sex pictures. This sicko is 71 years old. He's an Emmy-winning medical correspondent for NBC. He has allegedly asked a 9-year-old girl for sexually explicit pictures. He was arrested. He was released from custody later in the day after posting a $5,000 bond. And it's supposed to be probably going to get 18 months in prison for this. I mean, think about that for a second. This is what we're talking about with Austin and what was happening with that interview about Prince Andrew. They're trying to legalize and normalize sodomy and sex with little children because it's part of their perverted worship practice that they were pushed into doing via Aleister Crowley and a bunch of other sickos and druids and weirdos that they continue to do to this day at the higher levels. I mean, these people really believe when they have sex with a young child, they draw energy from that young child, and it makes them younger and healthier. They believe this sick stuff. Weirdos. So that's why we've got to stand against this stuff and push it out, the truth of what's happening with these guys and who they are and what they believe. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. I had the privilege and the opportunity to pray for you guys at the end of the day. You guys are awesome. Austin, go ahead and close it up, and I'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Yes, guys, and be sure to check out the product of the week, the last day on sale, the probiotic, $100 billion on sale right now. And also, too, be sure to vote for what you want to see win product of the week. We got a couple of them that are pretty close here, including the adrenal support and digestive enzyme blend. Thank you again for supporting Health Masters. Thank you again for your positive comments, and thank you again for spreading the word and signing up for our free weekly newsletter and getting the show out there so we can get this information to as many people as possible. Thank you. We appreciate every single bit of it. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night. Always stay ready. Always stay prepared, guys. And I'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.